podcast.
I'm Ross, and I'm ready to give out the only awards that matter this year.
And I'm Phil, and I'm ready to watch Ross give out the only awards for film that matter this year. Good. Well, look, welcome to the sixth annual Boyask Awards. What are the Boyask Awards? Well, for many, many years, we have sat by whilst the Academy and the BAFTAs and other people just completely ignore action and stunt as an art form. I will talk about the Oscars this year because for the first time ever, they actually acknowledged stunt people existed, which is interesting. So this is our way of rewarding action cinema and everything that goes with it. And we have a bundle of categories that we're going to go through, which include, and we'll come on to each one with some nominations. Best direct-to-video film. I mean, not that there is direct-to-video technically anymore, but, you know, if it was DTV, this would be it. Best action sequence, best fight sequence, best stunt, standout action performer, holy shit moment of the year, comeback of the year, and then we each get to pick a movie to put into the Movie Hall of Fame. So, Ross, are you excited about this year's Boyasks?
Well, it's a good question. On the whole, I thought last year was a pretty good year for film. I think we're always a little bit surprised by the end of each year. We seem to sometimes say, oh, this year's not going to be very good. And on the whole, most years, I think really end up, you know, if you watch the right movies and stuff, I think you usually have a fairly good, you know, smorgasbord to pick from. And I found selecting for this year's Boyasks, the only awards that matter, TM.
Only.
A mixture of too obvious and sort of therefore a bit underwhelming. Like the things I've picked, I think are good. There's no denying that. In my opinion, they are sort of undeniably appropriate picks, if I can put it that way.
Yeah.
But when I went through the films that I watched for last year, and some of those include a few that I caught up on this year, so to speak, but from last year. Aside from a few things, which hopefully people go, oh, you know, I feel like there's very little to, what's the word, introduce people to, for want of a better way of saying it.
Yeah,
like without going, you may not have seen this, but
I think,
you know,
you're
that
right.
Kind of doesn't really exist.
And I think that reflects the Academy Awards and the BAFTAs and other award
shows
this year as well.
I think a certain Academy Award winner, but one I think Seven, which was a perfectly good film. We both like that film. We'll get to it when you talk about it. I think that in a stronger year, it may not have stood much of a chance compared to, and I know it's really easy to say that because then what other films would it have been against? But I do wonder whether really holds up as an Oscar winner. I'm not about whether it's a good film. I'm talking about the awards that were given to it.
I always compare last year's with this year's, right? And actually, to be fair, the last couple of years have been relatively consistent in terms of kind of like actually, if you look back at the last 4 years, I'd probably say Oppenheimer is the better film. So Nomadland won. Oh, sorry,
yes.
I'm looking at BAFTAs. My apologies.
Sure.
Everything Everywhere All at Once. I think Oppenheimer is a better film than that. The year before that, Coda. Oppenheimer is definitely a better film than that.
I mean,
Nomadland.
Yeah.
I can't even. It was fine. And the year before that, Parasite, which was, you know, pretty decent. So look, let's do a quick wrap up of the Oscars. I watched the Oscars last night. I don't normally watch the Oscars. I didn't watch it live, clearly, and I watched it fast forwarding through like some of the speeches because, yeah, sometimes it's lovely, but you know, it's the bits in between I'm more interested in. I thought the production of the Oscars this year was one of the best years I've ever seen. It was really relaxed and it was really fun. And it had a few behind the scenesy bits where you saw people walking off stage after they won awards and accidentally running into other people coming on. And it's like, it was all those kind of little moments. And I think it benefited from having Barbie as a film that was nominated this year. Because, and I don't want to say it was nominated purely to get people watching, but it certainly gave the film a very different feel. And there's probably never been an Oscar moment as good as Ryan Gosling.
Right, yes.
Ryan Gosling singing the Ken song. it was just a moment of pure enjoyment and getting people involved in the audience. And everyone was in on the joke. And sometimes with the Oscars, you get the impression that people are just like, people aren't always in on the joke. And everyone's in on the Barbie thing. And there was a great back and forth between Emily Blunt and Ryan Gosling before they did the stunt thing, which I'll talk about in a sec, where they they were taking the, like Emily Blunt was like, you know, everyone was saying Barbenheimer was going to be this big thing, but in the end it turned out not to be too much competition. And then Ryan Gosling was like, yeah, well, you know, how's it feel riding Barbie's coattails in the box office for the last one? So there was this kind of jokey kind of funness about it, which took away from the fact sure. that for the most part, mostly everything that you expected to win won. Like, you knew Nolan was going to win. The two surprises were probably Emma Stone taking Best Actress, because Lily Gladstone was quite well considered for that.
Yeah.
I think, and I think the other surprise was probably, and not that it should have been a surprise, because it was well deserved, was the effects art Oscar going to Godzilla Minus One, which made me so happy.
Oh, yeah, completely. But particularly given the, dare I say it, the budget level. Particularly given the budget level of that film, as opposed to, dare we say it, the bloated hundreds of millions of dollars of many other competitors.
Yeah, and you know, like for me, that's all kind of happy when you kind of get that, and you just kind of go, yeah, well done. That was, you know, that was good. But look, you know, Oppenheimer took home seven, took home all the big ones. It got Best Actor for Cillian Murphy, which I think, you know, he did a good job in that.
He did do a good job, but here's the thing. He did do a good job. And I know how I'm about to sound because he won the Oscar. Was it really an Oscar-winning acting performance as a lead actor compared? By the way, I'm not dissing him. I thought he's great. I'm not trying to be contrarian. Again, in, dare I say, a strong year, would he honestly have won Best Actor? At the Oscars. I'm not dissing him. I really like him.
But
he's really good.
Comparison. Do you get what I'm was his at? Performance get better it. Than Brendan Fraser in The Whale? I didn't see the film.
I didn't see it, so I don't know.
Will Smith in King Richard, Anthony Hopkins in The Father. You know, it's always a Best Actor's always a weird one. I think, like, for me, two of the best Oscar speeches. Robert Downey Jr. was fantastic. He's so charismatic and so fucking charming.
Can we just talk about Jimmy Kimmel's shit joke about him, though? That was really mistimed, though. That was he's about to finally win his first Oscar.
Robert Downey Jr. has drug addiction.
Like nobody knows as well. Like this is some sort of. It wasn't even like shocking. It was just.
Yeah.
By the way, Kimmel's just doing his job.
Kimmel did a great job.
But that's the thing you pick, like, not 10 years of Marvel, not, I don't know, whatever. Like, there are so many things you could pick. Like the fact, he could have done a Marissa Tomei joke for as a deep cut. Really? Like, the bit that you do when he's actually being, and I'm talking totally here, I'm talking about the fact that it is a kind of a, For all of the politicking and all of the, dare I say, how worthy are the Academy Awards or whatever, we can get that ad infinitum. But it is perceived to be like a worthy achievement. Yeah. It's sort of like, dare I say, the crowning achievement in film acting to win. It's the ultimate accolade, whether we agree with that or not.
No, undisputably.
And to bring up something
industry,
like that.
It is perceived as the greatest accolade.
And also, it's been so long since Robert Downey Jr. has like that has been something that defines people's perception. There are like arguably two generations of people who don't even know that about Robert Downey Jr. Do you know what I mean? Like it's like he's been as far as we know, for so long.
Yeah,
and by the way,
it was
who cares? But you just go, oh, really?
Yeah,
really?
It was Kimmel's only misstep, I think, because I think he did a really, really good job.
I think he's good overall. He's great overall.
Did you see the Trump thing?
No, I didn't watch it. I just can't watch his stuff anymore.
Trump tweeted out something about insulting Kimmel, and Kimmel did a joke live on air. And it was something along the lines of, I'm surprised he's tweeting this late. isn't it past his jail time? And like right. The whole audience was just like, whoa, that was brutal. So Kimmel did a great job.
Good.
But yes, that was the one bit where I was just like,
It's just sort of like, of all of the things that he could have done, and again, I know it's a moment, but you
yeah,
just
look,
go,
it is
oh
what it is,
man,
right? Like,
really? Yeah, exactly.
It wasn't
But
great. What really interested me, and I don't think this has happened before, but the top, like, so if you look at best actor, best picture, best actress, best actor, and best supporting actress,
yes,
and best adapted screenplay, and best animated, like, the BAFTAs pretty much nailed all the key. So the BAFTAs got best actress, best film, best actor, best supporting actress, animated film, best adapted screenplay, best supporting actor.
Yeah,
I mean, for BAFTAs
and to a degree, but Golden Globes are always thought of as a fairly good barometer for what the Academy is.
Yeah, but they're never,
not always.
And director, like, they're literally almost identical, which is, and even like some of the technical categories, like best sound and stuff.
Sure.
It's really weird how, if you'd have put money on the Oscars based on the BAFTAs, you would have won a fucking shitload of cash this year.
Sure.
Because no one thought American Fiction was going to win best adapted screenplay. Like, no one was thinking that was a thing, you know. That was something that Oppenheimer was likely to get. So it's. But overall, look, I thought. Like, I'm very happy that Oppenheimer won. It is de facto a British film. If you use the loosest terminology of what a British film is, you know, it's a British director who's directed at least one of my favorite films of all time, if not a couple of others that are up there. You know, I've been a massive fan of Downey Jr. forever. You know, I love Emma Stone as well. And Emma Stone was so charming on stage and so kind of, you know, lovely. And Godzilla Minus. So I think it was a very good. And whether you liked Poor Things or not, and I haven't seen it yet, and I know you're definitely
I have seen
not
it. And,
camp.
well, I mean, well, yes, I am even not camp. Although Niffy and I talked about this. She does give a good performance in the movie, regardless of whether you like the movie or not. But she undoubtedly gives a good performance. And I think, as I said, for some reason,
stuff,
the second hour of the film is better than the first. But that's
and the technical stuff you can't argue with. The production design, from what I've seen, looks glorious. That makeup, the hairstyling looks glorious. The costume design looks glorious. You can't
not
argue
sure,
with a lot of
okay. Okay, fair. I mean, fair. I'm not sure.
I think
I can say that.
Great.
But,
From what I've seen, and again, I haven't seen the film. So, so, you know, like the film or not, and quite often I don't like the films. I think my only sad thing is I would like to have seen, I'd like to see Paul. By the way, and I say this because I haven't seen The Holdovers, but based on what
that's
I've
amazing.
heard.
Oh, you should watch that.
I know. It's going to be watched this week. Based on what I've heard and based on my pure, unadulterated love for Paul Giamatti, I'm gutted he didn't win because, you know, like, he
he's
is the
very,
perpetual,
very, very good. He's very,
he's
very good.
Perpetual not winner at the
And
Oscars.
I'm going to say, presumably, you're talking about best actor.
Yes.
He probably should have got it over Cillian Murphy. Probably.
Oh,
so that's kind of what I'm getting at. Now, I know it's an opinion.
Yeah.
But probably. When we look back in years to come, people will go, why? Not that Cillian Murphy did a good job. Well, but
you've called very much on Oppenheimer, and
No, not true. I haven't called on Oppenheimer. I think Oppenheimer is a very good film, and I believe that it deserves its nominations for sure.
I think Oppenheimer was the second best film of last year.
I'm not disputing the validity of the nominations for Oppenheimer at all, but then when you put it up against other stuff. And particularly when you talk about things like the performances and stuff. Again, Cillian Murphy certainly didn't put a foot wrong, in my opinion. It's perfectly valid to nominate him. But, dude, watch The Holdovers.
You might then go,
Giamatti was robbed.
Yeah, yeah.
You probably will. I'd be amazed if you don't.
I already know that Giamatti should have got it, right? I've watched enough of it to know that Paul Giamatti should have probably got it. One last thing I want to say is I want to give kudos to the Academy Awards for pulling out one of the best and strangest moments in its history, having Arnold Schwarzenegger and Danny DeVito present an award, which is fantastic, and then reference the fact they're in Batman.
I was going to say, was it for Best Twins? That would have been great.
Well, no, no, it was actually better than that. So they did, I think they did a couple of the technical nominations, right? But what they did was they were on stage, and Danny DeVito was like, yeah, we were both in Batman movies. I did this and you did that. And what film were you in? I was in Batman and Robin, and we both got killed by Batman. And then Michael Keaton is in the audience.
Right.
And then they call out Michael Keaton. Keaton plays along. And all of a sudden you had like, not that obviously Schwarzenegger was in the good Batman movies, but you know, like, but you just had this weird moment where you got Arnold Schwarzenegger's Mr. Freeze in the Penguin eyeing up Batman in the audience. And then technically what they should have done, if they'd been really smart, is they should have cut to Cillian Murphy, because he also got defeated by Batman. And I'm sure Anne Hathaway was knocking around somewhere. It was just brilliantly strange, but brilliantly fun. And like just having Arnie and Danny DeVito together again. And they got a standing ovation just by walking on stage.
That's very, very cool.
That's like the love that Schwarzenegger gets now that he never got when he actually had his career. In a similar way to Stallone, like Stallone, I think more. Stallone got Oscar nominations and wins and stuff, right? But Schwarzenegger never got the love. Last thing I'm going to say about the Oscars, they did a weird thing where, obviously, for the Fall Guy, you have Ryan Gosling come out with Emily Blunt, and they did a tribute to stunt performers. And early on in the night, they announced there was now going to be a casting Oscar starting next year.
Yes, I'm aware.
That's a good thing. I think that's a good thing. So I was like, oh, is this how are they going to announce a stunt Oscar off the back of this really cool tribute to like the stuntmen and everything else? And at the end of it, they just walked off stage. And you're like, that was just weird. Like, say thank you without saying thank you. Oh, sorry. Last other great moment. John Cena being naked on stage.
Of course.
Fucking hysterical. He manages to be far more funny and charming when he's not in a film than he ever manages to be in a film. Which is just the weirdest thing. It's like if someone could just capture how he is off stage on a film. But anyway, so that was it. I really enjoyed the Oscars. I thought, even though some of the awards were predictable, I thought they actually managed to make a really fun show out of it this year. It was only 2.5 hours long, which for an Oscar show feels pretty short. And there was a couple of good winners in there. But go Godzilla Minus One. Also, the other thing, they did a really great thing when they did the acting awards, is they put on 5 former winners to talk about one of the nominees each year. And I had some like really quirky people on stage, like, you know, you had like Nicolas Cage talking about, I can't remember who he did, but talking about one of the nominees this year. Is it about Paul Giamatti? And you're just like, it was really well done. So yes, kudos to the Oscars. They actually made something that was bearable. And that's it. So with the Boy Asks, this will officially end Oscar season or award season, Ross. So we are the final award season of the year.
That is fantastic.
Isn't it good, right?
I feel good about being the last and best award to be in.
The last and best. So look, let's not wait any longer. And let's kick off with the big one. Let's start with best blockbuster action film of 2024. So as usual, you will do a few nominations. We'll have the awkward...
Well, hang on, whoa, 2023...
2023, sorry. Yes, exactly that. So, Ross, in your own time, please give us the nominations for Best Blockbuster Action Film.
So, it was quite just for nominations, right? Hello?
Yeah, just for nominations. Yeah, sorry. Yeah, just for nominations.
Okay, that's fine. Now, I found it a little bit tricky to define what an action blockbuster was last year, barring a few obvious films.
Barring a few of those films, yeah.
I have included films that I would describe as sorry, but were released in the cinema.
Okay.
As opposed to what you would necessarily call a blockbuster, right?
Okay.
So mine, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. So I've done 6. Right. I'm trying to keep it down to 5, but I've had it kind of difficult. Actually, it's 7.
Okay. So let's have the nominations. Right.
The nominations are Mission Impossible Dead Reckoning Part 1.
Yes.
Plane.
Yeah.
Both of the Three Musketeers films, D'Artagnan and Milady.
Yep.
Dungeons and Dragons Honor Among Thieves.
Yes.
Sisu. And Godzilla Minus One. Now, interestingly, 4 of those, if you think about the fact that Musketeers are 2 movies, are foreign language films, but they were all released in the cinema. And that was very cool for last year, UK cinemas. Thank you.
It was incredible, wasn't it? It was incredible.
That was cool. And all of those, I think, are worthy of mention.
And by the way, whilst I thought it was a bad year for blockbuster and big films last year, with the exception of a few, cinema was fantastic last year. Like, we had Saltburn and Sisu and, you know, all these quirky, with Godzilla and all these quirky weird films.
We had fun horror movies, we had fun action movies, we had very good dramas, of course. But
it was really, really good year for film last year, not blockbuster cinema. Now, and if you only like Marvel films, not a good year. But if you look outside that, there's some great stuff. So, Ross, I'll drum roll.
Is that a drum
roll?
And the winner is, and I've done this because it is the only genuine blockbuster out of all of them, quite frankly, it's Mission Impossible Dead Reckoning Part 1, which I think, as I say, I watched it twice, and a second time round, most of my quibbles about it were mostly allayed the second time round. I'm not saying that absolves the film of those quibbles, mostly in the script department, I think, if I remember our conversation correctly. But as an action blockbuster, I mean, and quibbles aside, it really does deliver the goods as an action blockbuster.
Yeah.
That was kind of all I can say, really.
It was there
are better Mission Impossible films, of course. But in terms of action blockbuster movies last year, I think it is the one.
I think you're right. I think what's interesting about it is how few people are still talking about it.
That's true. I mean, again, I had to go through my list for all of these. I had to go through my list, obviously, again, to make sure I'd sort of laid. There was even a couple of things I'd forgotten because I'd watched them this year from last year too, which I managed to remember, thank God. Because otherwise, these wouldn't necessarily be the best awards.
Weirdly, some were completely forgotten, and I think that's a bizarre thing. Like it was a huge film, and it didn't knock the blockbuster. It didn't knock the box office out of the park.
But then again, not many films did. I think it was only 2 films last year that did the $1 billion business, if I remember correctly.
Yeah,
and just to put that into context, about 5 years ago, there were about 7.
I think there was a few more, but
not many.
Yeah, it was a rough film for big action blockbusters, and when you take out the Marvel stuff, and I think I would maybe would have nudged Guardians of the Galaxy in there.
That was in my selection list, and then I went, I just don't think it's very good. Like, it is one of the better ones of Marvel in the last few years, no question. But let's not get into the whole debate. It's a low bar, and I still stand by the fact that without those beautiful flashbacks, they are beautiful and moving and emotional. But without them, that's a flat film.
By the way, you are right. Only 2 movies crossed the $1 billion mark last year, Barbie and Super Mario Brothers.
Yeah.
Oppenheimer was like super close.
Oh, yeah. No, there were a few that came, there were still a few other very well generating movies. Oppenheimer made its money partly because of Barbie, though.
But only three films in 2022 did it. 2021, we don't talk about.
It's been going down. Because... This is what it's been going down and down and down since about 2018, 2019.
Yeah,
and obviously there's a couple. Yes, you're right. There's a couple of years that don't.
You can't count 2021 really 22, but 2019 there was 1. There was 9: Aladdin, Toy Story, Star Wars, Joker, Captain Marvel, etc. Yeah, interesting. Good. All right. I think that's a solid pick. I think it was a predictable pick, Ross. You went with the Oppenheimer of best blockbuster movies.
No, but I said it because out of my list, it was the only one that was what you would call an actual blockbuster.
So let's go the other way now. So we've had the best blockbuster action film. Let's do the best direct to streaming video, DVD, whatever medium you want to say that isn't cinema.
So this was
the best
slightly,
two
yes,
other
best
medium.
Home, if you like, home entertainment film, for whatever way of saying
but
it.
DTV is such a better terminology for
yeah,
that.
Of course, of course. So I did find five, and they were fairly straightforward, and I don't think any of these will surprise you if you've seen them. We have Fear the Night, which is a great action movie that's almost like a home invasion thriller starring Maggie Q. Really enjoyable.
Ooh, I have not seen that one.
Oh, it's very, very good if you haven't watched it.
It's been nominated for Best DTV
Yeah,
Action Film
well,
of the Year.
There you go. Fist of the Condor, which I mentioned before, starring Marco Zaror. Sniper Grit, with GRIT, whatever that, something response team or something. But it was really enjoyable. But the Sniper franchise, since they've kind of become these smaller, sort of fast-moving action movies, have become genuinely really enjoyable. I don't think you really need to have seen them in any order particularly, but they are a very enjoyable, reliable franchise with quite big body counts and sort of fun and sort of springy action, you know. Two more, more in the sort of the horror genre, The Wrath of Becky, which while not being the original film, which was such a delight, is still a very solid sequel to it and has
it's a
some
good
very
film.
fun, has some very good fun along the way. And kudos to Sean William Scott for playing such a fun villain as well. And then Totally Killer, which was a very enjoyable, you know, time travel, sorry, Grounds for Fae-ish, time travel slasher movie. A lot of fun. Nothing massive, but genuinely a fun, worthwhile movie, but I think you don't have to like slasher movies to enjoy it. I think you can just enjoy that movie.
And in fact, it's interesting because there was also like a horror
It's a Wonderful
time
Knife.
travel
Was
movie.
very,
It's a Wonderful Knife,
it's wonderful, which I really liked too.
Which
I
is the
say.
film.
I
I think the
too.
title's better than the film.
I see that, but it
but
was
even
fun.
So it was a good year for
Totally
like
Killer.
quirky.
Totally Killer edged that one out because to me they're of a very similar bent.
I like
and
Totally Killer.
Both like, yeah, Totally Killer, and also I saw a lot of people liking it. One of the better way of saying it, which is not a bad sign.
It was a
You
grower,
know?
Right? It was something that started, and then all of a sudden you're like, oh, okay, good. Okay, so those are our nominations. So the winner of Best Direct to Home Entertainment Film goes to
Direct to Home Entertainment. Direct to Home Entertainment Video, DVR, Netflix streaming is Fear the Night. And yes, you really should watch it. I think you will really, really dig it. It's again, doesn't break the mark. And also, it's directed by Neil LaBute, of all people.
What?
Which is it's a very strange.
What?
Yeah. It's very odd. Let me make sure I'm not going completely mental because I feel like suddenly I'm like wrong about that. But bear with me one second.
I
But
hate that
I'm
when you say
positive.
something
I'm
and you
positive.
go.
I'm positive that I'm right about it. Hang on, let me just double
Okay,
check.
I have a train journey tomorrow. You know,
Yeah,
I
it
like
was Neil.
these kind
It
of films
was
on the
Neil
train
LaBute.
journey.
Yeah, Neil LaBute of all people directed it, and it's this kind of fun home invasion action movie. And it's really enjoyable. Like, yeah, I think you will really dig it. Yeah.
Okay.
So there you
Cool.
go.
All right. So, best action sequence of 2023. The nominees are
1, 2, 3. Oh, I did four. No, actually, there's three because I didn't even
just
name
read the
one.
nominations.
No, hang on, I'm just curious because I was going through my list. Right, so I've only got three nominations for
you'd
this.
Be terrible at an actual award show, Ross. You would kill the pacing completely because
I
you'd
don't
be
care.
waffling off about something.
Yeah, but it's all
Right,
pointless, so who gives a shit? Right,
best action sequence is.
So
Best
I'm just
action
looking
sequence
for
nominations.
Yes, that's a good point. Well, this is John Wick Chapter 4's only nomination. Which is the Dragonfire shootout,
Oh,
that was kind of
that's
that
so
top-down.
good.
That was a really good highlight in a very
That
dull
is
3-hour movie.
one of the best
It's
sequences
very,
in a
very
movie
good.
I've seen in years.
I wish it had been in a better film. And I mean that. I know I'm being a bit lazy by saying that, but
You
I really do
hate
wish it had
them,
been.
and you're in the very
And I'm not
minority with
wrong.
this.
I don't care. It doesn't mean I'm not right.
I mean,
They're
by the
boring.
way, I've never loved John Wick. I like Chapter
No.
4 slightly more than most.
Sure. Yeah, I agree with you on all
That
of that, but it's
sequence is awesome,
needlessly
though.
long. That sequence is, if you just watch that sequence, which I did, because I'm trying to appreciate the good bits, if that makes sense, that bit is extremely good and sort of innovative and
Well,
enjoyable.
it's
That's full
basically
of fun characters.
Hotline Miami,
Correct.
the film, isn't it?
Exactly. Yes, exactly. Exactly. And it's
Good.
very enjoyable. So there's that. We also have Sisu. Now, Sisu was interesting for me because I couldn't pick one action sequence. I'm almost saying the entire movie because basically I've just put Sisu are Tammy versus Nazis. Well, there's about seven of those, and they are all spectacular.
Yeah.
And then the last nomination is Plane. And I think there are a number of fun set pieces in Plane, but I've just put the final escape, the final sequence where everyone's having to jump onto the plane. The bad guys are coming with all their trucks. You've got those cool special forces guys who are holding them off while everyone's trying to escape.
Yeah.
The final takeoff, and then taking off that guy's head with the landing gear, which is fucking amazing.
Okay, maybe you've put something in the fight scene, because I was expecting something from Three Musketeers within this, but maybe you've snuck
well, action
that
sequence isn't the same as action sequence to me. It's not a fight. Well, it can be a fight.
Yeah, no,
it's
no.
More,
this is it. So this is
what
I'm thinking.
Action.
This is what I'm thinking. You might have done something for Three Musketeers in best fight scene because it had some standout
I
stuff.
May have.
Cool.
I may not.
All right. So the winner is.
The winner is actually Plane for that. Because when it comes to an action sequence, this also counts for fights, but when it comes to an action sequence, what I really give a shit about is story.
Yeah.
Like, what I really, really care about is story. And I love Sisu, and that Dragonfire shootout absolutely deserves its shout out and all that stuff. The thing I loved about Plane, the thing that surprised me about Plane is we know it's a very generic action film, right? And it was very early in the year.
Of generic
very
action
early
films.
In the year, but it absolutely does everything right. And one of the things I think we both talked about what we liked about the film was that everyone does their fucking jobs properly. Everyone. They actually do. There's like no one who's like incompetent at what they do, right?
No.
Even the not hostage, like the passenger who you think is going to be a problem, like a real problem, turns out to come good. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah,
like
yeah,
the guy
yeah.
Who's like, why you think he might like turn them in or sacrifice someone else or do what, you know what I mean? Like, no, everyone comes good. The air crew are fucking doing their job. And that whole thing where they all come together in that final sequence to me is all story and it's what the film is about. And then that crowning moment with the landing gear is just so good. And like the way that the professional special force, the kind of mercenary guys hold off the pirates, you give a shit. You don't know who these people are and you give a shit. And that's really rare in films these days.
I think you make a very passionate. I personally would have picked
really
the
well
I personally would have picked the sequence from John Wick 4 because it was something I've always
it
wanted to
excellent.
See on film that I never had.
Yes,
but,
yes, and it is excellent. I'm not.
But
it's a really
I
good
cannot.
Bit.
I cannot fault your pick. So well done, sir. That was a good pick. And I knew you'd get Plane in there somewhere. good. Okay. So best fight sequence, and the nominations are.
Ah, this is slightly more interesting. So, Plane again, and it's Gerard Butler and just Baddie. There's that thing where he's made that phone call, and you have that just random thug who turns up, and they have that horrible, and in a rare case of me liking a long take, one take fight, where
yes.
They're like thrashing around in that office. And I think that fight, again, story. Is a really good fight, and it's with like a nameless baddie, middle of the movie, well, like a third of the way into the movie, maybe. And it's probably the only fight in the movie, like the actual only fight scene in the movie. And again, you give a shit. My next nomination is Sisu again for Atami versus Nazis. Because again, all he's doing is fighting Nazis.
That sequence.
The only thing against it is, again, it's mostly just him killing Nazis.
Yeah.
But, you know, I dig that, personally. So we have a nomination here for Dungeons & Dragons Honor Among Thieves, which is Michelle Rodriguez versus those soldiers, which is hilarious, fully informs you of Chris Pine and her character. And the fight choreography, the bad guys, like the stunt guys handling it all, it's a really fun, enjoyable fight scene.
I think that film, again... You know, it was early on in the year. Like Plane. Plane was one of the first films I saw.
It was January.
Year.
It was actually January.
Dungeons and Dragons, Honor Amongst Thieves, just got lost in the shuffle. And it's a shame.
It's so enjoyable. Well, we watched it. I think I told you we watched it again and just had such a good time. We had just such a good time with the movie. I mean, obviously now, Niffy and I are playing D&D regularly and I'm playing Baldur's Gate 3 and all that. It all kind of like blends together a bit, but in a very good way. Two more nominations. And these are perhaps not as obvious nominations. Polite Society, Rhea fighting the bully fairly early in the movie, that kind of fantastical, imaginative fight scene that seems to have actually really happened in the movie, which is really enjoyable to me. I love Polite Society. And then my final nomination is a film that I watched early this year from last year, which is Bottoms, the football field battle.
Bottoms was fun.
And
Okay.
Bottoms also wins this category. Because
Oh, nice. You
again,
didn't let me
it
do the
comes
winner
down.
is then. You
I'm
just
sorry, this is
jumped straight.
too
I
important,
have
too
one job here,
important.
Ross. I have one
I
job.
know. Well, I'm taking that job from you. But the reason why, and you've seen Bottoms, right?
Yeah, I have.
It's truly, first of all, I love the movie. I was so surprised at how much I loved the movie, and I'd heard very good things. I really enjoyed the movie as a whole. You really care about all the characters, and dare I say, goody and baddie. You care about all of them, baddies being
Yes.
bullies or cliquey people. It's probably the closest thing to Heathers we're going to get for a little while, I think. And that football field battle at the end is so fucking crazy and violent and hilarious, and you're kind of going, what? Like, all the way through it. And I was standing and cheering at certain points. But then when they all get together to save the dickhead that they all hate from the spray of sprinklers,
Yeah.
it's fantastic. I was on
Yeah.
my feet cheering.
It's Bottoms was in a film of in a year of some weird comedies. I think Bottoms did
Yes.
a very, very good job. Good. Okay, we're racking through these categories now. So
Yes.
this is one of always my favorite one. Always one of my favorite ones is best stunt of the year.
There's
Best
this is
stunt.
just to be clear, there's one nomination, it wins. It was overcovered to hell before the movie came out, so you know which one it is. It is the motorbike jump in Mission Impossible Dead Reckoning Part One.
Clearly, 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 it couldn't
There isn't a
be.
stunt, regardless of the over. It's such a shame they showed us this before. Can you imagine sitting in a cinema and watching it without seeing it in the trailer? Can
Well,
you
so
imagine? It would have blown. You'd have just lost your shit completely.
I wouldn't
You'd
have
have just lost
done,
your
and I'll
shit.
tell you why. Because I think, and actually, I would never have given this best action sequence
Well, it's
because
not.
I think it's a terrible. I think the whole
It
sequence
was
is
over-edited. That whole thing was over. Yeah, you're
badly
right. It's too.
edited.
It was also. I think we said this before. It was positioned wrong, in
Yeah.
terms of where the story is. There's too much shit that has to happen on the train for where they put. You know what I
Yeah,
mean?
it's
They put
like
it in a completely wrong place, basically.
it was far too long. Like it took too long to get there, literally. And when they did it, they didn't it didn't it wasn't it didn't look as impressive as it was. So actually seeing how they did it behind the scenes and seeing some of it and see actually to me made it a better stunt because
I'd
I think if
rather
they
see
put it in the
that. I
film,
yes.
if
All
they
I'm
put it
saying
in
is
the
I'd
film
rather
how
see
they
that
edited
afterwards.
it.
I'd
But
see it
yeah,
now
but I think if they
afterwards.
put it in the film how they did it, you'd go,
Yes.
oh, that was just a CGI or something.
I
But
see what you're
knowing
saying.
it
I can see
wasn't,
what you're saying. Well, we know that it wasn't. Yeah,
yeah,
exactly.
it's weird, right? Like it is a phenomenal stunt and it deserves the award because it truly is, you know, Tom Cruise trying to kill himself again.
Trying to kill
But
himself. It also cements Tom Cruise as being what Jackie Chan. That's
Jackie
what my dad used
Chan.
to call Jackie Chan. That's what my dad used to call Jackie Chan. Jackie Chan, for real, he used to pronounce it Chan, which was amazing.
Chan.
Chan, but it's showing that Tom Cruise is doing everything that Jackie can't. I mean, I'm not dissing Jackie. Jackie doesn't have anything left to prove and all of that stuff.
Oh no, Jackie didn't have anything left to prove
But
after
Cruise is doing
1985, but you know.
correct. Yes, you're right. You're right. You're very right.
What
But it's
Jackie
showing that he's
what
capable
Cruise
of
is doing
doing things that
now
you
is
just
what
go,
Jackie
this is
did
insane.
30 years ago.
Correct. Yes, or would
But
have done, or would have done.
actually and to give a nod out to the Oscars last night when I watched it when we record this, you know, they very much show that legacy of stunt performing going back to, you know, Buster Keaton and
Yes,
Chaplin, right? So
very much.
like you look at some of the shit they did, and even Tom Cruise would look at some of that stuff and go, oosh.
Of
And by
course.
the
Well,
way, none of it
they
was,
innovated it. They innovated it as well. That's the other thing. They
yeah,
innovated it.
none
It
of it
wasn't
was
just they
like
did it.
big. None of it was jumping a
No.
motorbike off a cliff.
No.
But back then, it was, you know,
The
there wasn't
balls.
such a
The
thing as
balls to
stunt
do it.
class.
Well, the balls to
And
do it. Well, the balls to do it.
yeah. So yeah. Look, no. I well done. Very, very, very well done. So we come to a couple of our biggest awards. So the standout action performer of 2023, our nominees are.
We have three. So first of all, Francois Civil for the Three Musketeers, D'Artagnan and Milady. You're right.
Yes.
This needed maybe a few more mentions in there. It was very hard for me to. I could have just lumped it in with Sisu in some ways, like just all the fights. Yeah, all the fights. But we both agree that we enjoyed both those films massively. I think the first one edges the second one for various reasons. I really hope there's a third one because otherwise it's very strange. way to leave
Yeah,
the
that will
franchise.
have a very weird ending if there's not. It's like
But
the
the
Dune
fights
2
were all
ending, where you're
right,
like, it
yes.
ends
Yeah, it does
with a
actually end,
massive
kind of.
but.
Right, exactly. So but he very much deserves it. He's absurdly handsome, physically agile. You know, he does bring to mind Michael York a little bit in the 70s Musketeers movies and things like that, you know.
And
It's very
he can ride a
again, he's a great actor.
horse, and he's.
He can ride a horse. Yes, exactly. He's the guy, and I really like that.
God
That's
damn it, I fancy him.
yeah, so do I a bit. And I'd love to see him. I mean, he may have done this, and we should look him up a little bit more. Maybe he. I'd like to see him in a more contemporary action movie. Just curious to see if he's done anything like that. He's
Yeah.
he's got chops from what I can tell,
He
you
has
know.
definitely got action chops. That
Yeah, so
is
very curious.
something I cannot disagree with.
Yeah, so there we go. So we have two more nominations. We have Marco Zarore, who I think I've mentioned on this podcast before. Partly he's the lead of Fist of the Condor and numerous independent martial arts action movies. And of course, he had a very prominent role in John Wick 4. Regardless of my thoughts on that film, he's very talented, gives a very good account of himself in that film as well. And he seems to be a genuine, just in real life, he seems to be a genuine, down-to-earth, humble, modest, but very talented human. So I believe he deserves plaudits. And then the third nomination is, and again, this is very early days in some ways to be saying this, but Priya Kansara for Polite Society.
Very
I don't
good.
know, I actually don't know how much, dare I say, physical training Priya's had, but she was extremely, what's the word, convincing in that movie
Yeah.
for the style of fighting that they display, which is obviously very whimsical and fantastical. Terrific on-screen presence. I think these are three different worthy plaudits. Again, I don't know if Priya's going to do more action stuff. So you know, but I'm just saying, I think she genuinely deserves something in terms of she did a really good job in a quite a physically demanding film, which I think wasn't obviously physically demanding as kind of a comedy romp, you know.
Yeah, cool. And the winner is?
The winner is, regardless of what I just said about Priya, Marco Zarore. I've been following his career for a number of years, obviously, probably more than 10 years now. And he's always interesting, whether he's like the hero of a movie or the villain of a movie. He's one to keep watching, if I can say that. He's currently in a movie filming in Bogota, I believe, with Mr. Scott Adkins, which is looking very interesting. I'm very curious to see what kind of movie this is going to turn out to be. It looks like it's quite different from your typical fare. And yeah, I would recommend people just listening to this at all. If you
Nice.
haven't checked out Marco Zarore as an action guy, I would very much recommend checking out almost not every movie he's done, but most of them you're going to see a very intriguing, somewhat taciturn. He has a bit of a stony face presence, but who's also very charming and there's a lot of heart there. So
Okay.
I really
So
believe he deserves that.
going back to Francois Civil. I don't think he's done any action films, but I'm looking at something he did in 2020, a French police film called The Stronghold, which looks super
It's
interesting.
really, I've seen The Stronghold. I didn't realize he was in it. The
Yeah.
Stronghold
Is
is
it good?
very, I'm trying to, Escape from Precinct 13 isn't quite the right comparison,
Right.
but it has those kind of, it has those kind of vibes. No, it's like a really tough, somewhat brutal police thriller, and the ending is fantastic. It's very moving in places. So
Okay.
actually, yes, and I won't lie, I forgot he was in it. I forgot what
He
character. I
also
think
did
he's
a
one of the
film.
cops.
He also did
The
a film that
Stronghold
I
is
want.
really good.
Yeah, he also did a film that I really want to see, which is called. It's a short film called Cock Crap Fuck. It has my
Now
vote.
that I look, I'm looking at the Stronghold trailer on the IMDb page. And I absolutely recognize him, but he looks completely different from in obviously in Musketeers.
Yeah.
It is extremely good, dude. You should definitely watch The
Yeah,
Stronghold.
no,
You'll dig it.
it's just jumped my list. So
You will
we
dig it.
are up to holy
Gosh.
shit moment of the year. Holy shit. The moment of the year that made you go, holy shit. I'm gonna throw in my nominations have no
Have
bearing
five.
on this. A
Okay, go on.
couple of no, a couple of things that made me go, holy shit, was definitely the that moment from John Wick that we thought. The overhead shot, I think that was phenomenal.
For
I
sure.
think there's a couple of moments in Sisu that genuinely had me just going, what the actual fuck?
Yes.
Clearly, there's some Mission Impossible 6 moments. Again, I think that moment
Seven.
lost its
It's
holy shit
seven.
moment. Seven, sorry. It lost its holy
Yes.
shit moment because I'd
Yes.
seen too much of
It was
it.
overplayed. Yeah, it was overplayed.
And I also think there was a moment in John Wick that also made me go, holy shit, but for different reasons. It's like, holy shit, how many times are they going to do this stare gag?
Well, there was that. Also, holy shit, how many times, how much are they going to make this old guy have to do fighting on screen where he started to look really slow and bored of it? Like,
So,
why are you doing this?
your holy shit moments of the year, Ross.
I have five. Right. At five. No, I'm not
Oh,
going
are
to
you
do.
counting down?
Actually, can I do that? Because it would be much
Yeah, do
easier
that. Countdown
to then
4, 3, 2,
do.
and then number
Yeah,
one is
can I
the
do
holy
that?
shit moment of the year. Go on, do that.
I think I've even got it roughly in the right order.
Go
Number
on. Let's
five,
do it then.
at five,
At five.
Hypnotic, because I can't believe this film exists. But
Oh
that's not necessarily a bad thing. I really enjoyed how bad that film was. I really enjoyed it. I
God,
really enjoyed that how
it's
pissed off Affleck
so
looked in every
fucking
scene.
bad.
I really enjoy that Affleck, before every take, clearly looked off camera, went, "I'm doing this once, then leaving." Like, I just, it was amazing for
Oh,
me.
by the way,
I
The
loved it. Yes.
Stronghold is on
Yes.
Netflix.
Definitely what, dude. I watched it at the cinema. I really, really liked it. I completely, I mean, it's 4 years ago, to be fair. But I really, and it's only like 105 minutes or something.
Yeah,
It's
sure. Cool.
really,
Sorry.
really good. Right. Okay. Sorry.
In four.
So, at, in, that's bullseye.
It is in
In
four.
for the film No Hard Feelings, the nude fight. Did you see this?
Yes, I hated the film, but I thought that was a really interesting moment.
We thought the film was fine. Like, it wasn't great. It wasn't bad.
I
I
didn't
didn't
hate it,
hate the
that's
film.
harsh. It was a
But
solid 5 out of 10. I
to
just.
see her doing that fight naked, and for it to be quite a, like, a real fight, like, it wasn't like a comedy fight.
Yeah, no.
It
There was
was
a
like,
whole wrestling
whoa,
piece on it.
whoa,
I was just
bloody
like, whoa,
hell. It's
there's
like,
like.
whoa, I'm getting feelings. It was interesting. Okay. It,
In three.
three. Expend four balls.
Oh, God, the CGI at the beginning.
I was sitting in the film with someone who worked on the film, looking at the film that was in no way finished, forgetting the weird editing of the first act, where you're cutting between a sequence that lasts about half an hour and a sequence that has to take place over at least a day, if not 2 days. It was just so fucking weird. The fact that the film, just like you say, was CGI, but you get bad CGI, the poor matting, that just not, like, genuinely sitting there going, I do not understand how this was released theatrically. Like, I don't
No.
understand how, let alone all the other what the fucks through the movie. I was just genuinely, I shouldn't have been surprised, if you see what I mean. Like, because we've seen stuff, right? But
Which
I
you
was just sitting there
were.
going,
Yeah.
I don't,
I
brain not
watched it and
work.
I was just like,
I don't.
okay.
Imagine watching it in the IMAX.
In, oh my God, no. In
Right.
two.
Right. Sisu, the knife through the head.
Oh.
Because occasionally when you watch a movie, you see a moment, and this is fairly early in the film, isn't it? This is, I want to say this is within the
Yeah,
first
very
10
early in the
minutes.
film.
I want to
It
say within
literally is
10, but
like first
maybe.
15, 20 minutes.
Yeah, for sure. If not, anyway. Sometimes you see a moment in a film and you go, who we got a fucking film here?
Yeah, we
And the
are
knife through
on.
the head, yeah, and the knife through the head in Sisu indicates the beginning of an experience that literally doesn't stop until the end of the movie.
No,
Because
it's
from that point
relentless.
on, yeah, from in a good way, not in an overpowering way, not in a way where you're like, oh, fuck's sake, we just stop. Because it has its moments to reflect in the movie too. But it is such a making the point, literally. It so reflects what some people want to do to some other people in society at the
Yeah.
moment.
I think
And that's not the point, but you just go,
it's one of those films that you
yeah.
watch and like you get the feeling it's going to be good, and then there's that
Oh,
moment where
yeah.
you just go, oh, and we are in the room, we are fully connected,
Yep.
fully engaged,
I will
I
never
am
forget.
fucking in.
I don't think I will ever forget seeing that moment in the cinema.
No. I
let alone if you watch it at home, I get it. If you watch it at home, it'd be fine. If you watch it in the cinema, I think your head. Well, I just went.
So then we have. So what is the holy shit moment of the year for 2023?
I would be amazed if you're surprised by this, but the film is Saltburn, and let's just call it The Slurp.
Now, I don't know if that moment or the dance at the end was the holy shit moment of the year for me.
I had that too, but the dance comes at the end of the film as a culmination of the film. So yeah, I wasn't going, holy shit. I was just going, fuck yeah. Like, I was more like, fuck yeah. The slurp, given certain other moments that happened before that as well, like his turn in the garden, all of that stuff, and the loads of other moments actually, but the slurp,
the slurp
really had me just going, holy shit.
Do you know what it did to me? It literally made me go, okay, game on. This is going to, this is not afraid to go anywhere.
When was the last year when you could say you had even two moments where you went, I will never forget seeing that?
We watched it, and there was definitely a mum and daughter in front of us.
Oh, sure.
And I could, you know, when you just can feel the palpable, the palpable discomfort in the room.
Oh yeah.
And like I was just sitting there, and I think I was probably the only person by the end of the film that was laughing, and I was like properly laughing at like the dance, and I was just like, I was so engaged, so in on this film. And again, it is not a perfect film. It won my film of the year because it isn't a perfect film. It's an imperfect film, but it's an imperfectly, it is the most, I have watched a lot of films in my life. I have watched everything from John Waters movies to Lloyd Kaufman movies to strange shit that most, to Human Centipede 2 and that.
Yeah.
That was the first time I've watched a film in the cinema where genuinely I was just, my jaw, I was just like, oh, it's going there? And each time it went there was somewhere that I can't ever remember a film ever going. And I was just like, you keep going because this is something different. Good. Yeah, no, Saltburn was, you know, gutted. It hasn't got any nominations for anything.
Right, exactly. That's absurd.
So we're down to the two last awards. Comeback of the Year, Ross. Who gets the comeback of 2023?
This is interesting because there are three what you would call franchises in this. And any of them, well, two of them especially could be obvious winners. And one of them maybe not so obvious, but let's just say refreshing returns to form.
Okay.
The first comeback of the year is the Three Musketeers as a as an IP, let's say.
Yeah, I'll give you that. I think those Three Musketeers movies
after a long
you
time.
You turned me on to it, and I was just like, holy fuck, yeah, that's good.
I want to see them again, but I really want a third movie, which is not a bad thing to want a third movie.
Leave them wanting more, Ross, as they say.
We also have Saw X, because, again, that was a hell of a return. That was after like a bunch
Saw
of
Saw X was good.
Yeah, I mean, really good compared to, like, really good on its own terms, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
Can I just say the winner rather than just say which one?
Yeah, go on then.
It's just because when I say it, it's going to be really obvious. The comeback of the year was Godzilla.
Yes.
Really obviously, the comeback of the year was Godzilla out of all of these, particularly with film minus one, of course, because not only did we get a comeback from a franchise just before another. Have you seen they've changed the title again of the new one?
Oh yeah, Godzilla.
Is it something like the new Empire or the Inland Empire?
Yeah, does anyone give a shit?
Like they keep changing the name on the posters. What are they doing? It's Godzilla times Kong or something now, like X Kong Godzilla. What are you doing, film? What are you doing, PR company? What are you doing? And does any of it look good? It might be fun, but does it look good? Like I don't even know where to go with this. Anyway, Godzilla, Gojira, not only is it like a return to a franchise, if I can say that, not only was it exceptional and again, another foreign language movie in the cinema doing incredibly well. Not only does it then go on to win the Oscar for Best Special Effects at a budget that's about less than a 20th even than its sort of, you know, typical competitors at the Oscar level. Not only did it make me just go, what the fuck, Godzilla's scary. Like, I'm scared of Godzilla.
Yeah, genuinely. Like, when Godzilla goes full-on Godzilla...
I'm just like, what the fuck? Like, goddamn. But what was particularly affecting to me in the movie, as the human drama built, was the realisation that Godzilla is looming, the threat of Godzilla, I should say, is looming over these lives as they then build up from the end of World War II. Like, as they build their life, remember when we get this montage where, like, their house keeps getting better? Like, it turns into a shack, and then it turns into, like, a sort of a house and all this stuff. And this family unit are coming together, and you're hearing more about the politics of, like, the town, you know, and all of this stuff, and the human relationships and the kid and all of these things that are basically a standard drama, if you like a drama of, like, individuals in a small town that's been ravaged by war, let alone Godzilla, coming together. And I don't know about you, that film normally wouldn't interest me particularly. I mean, I might go and see it. If I'm,
it 100% would me. It's definitely my back, but
what I mean is that's not a film that would... If you just said that, I'd go, okay. Like, but if people the core of the story is the human drama of Japan and specifically their area rebuilding after World War II.
Remember, this guy's guilt
over not doing his job. Right, that's right. It's a franchise that goes back to the '50s.
You know, but this is a franchise that has been destroyed by American movies, right?
Like, and also some of the Japanese, but
mostly American, right? Like,
of course. The 90s string of bad Godzilla movies.
Oh, the Roland Emmerich one, which is appalling.
Yeah.
Good. Although
I stand by. Sorry. All I'm getting at is the comeback. Yes, the franchise. Yes, the IP. But the looming threat of this creature. That I don't know about you. I don't think have you ever really cared like what might happen, not what's happening, but what is going, the inevitable doom of what is about to happen, right? Regardless of the fantastic and positive ending. Yeah, the fantastic and positive, the uplifting ending. Oh my God. The town coming together, all of that stuff. The ejector seat, if we can say that now. The reaction to the ejector seat.
Okay, the music's starting to play you off now, Ross.
Done. But what I'm saying is it's a comeback, but...
No, it's still playing you off. But it is, you're absolutely right. Good, okay, so final award then is our Hall of Fame. So we each get to pick a movie that goes into the Hall of Fame.
It's very, very obvious. Yes, it's very, very obvious which one I've picked, probably.
Go on. So I'm going to let you go first, because I think your result might change my result. What is your action film Hall of Fame entry? Now, by the way, I'm going to go through the Hall of Fame films so far. So far, we've got Gross Point Blank, Mad Max Fury Road, Point Break, Aliens, Commando, Cannibal Run, Hard Boiled, Con Air, The Matrix, and Hooper.
These are all fine entries.
I mean, that is not a bad list of films, is it? So go on, Ross, give me your entry to the 2023 Hall of Fame.
My entry has been subject to a race. My entry is to ensure that the film I'm going to mention is in the Hall of Fame before a, let's face it, not terribly good-looking remake arrives. I think it's this month, and it's Roadhouse. Roadhouse has to be entered into the Hall of Fame while it is still the actual Roadhouse.
Like I've always said, it doesn't spoil
The remake will not spoil the original. And what I'm getting at is, don't know about you, but none of the materials I've seen so far, I mean, why would they inspire me? But none of them. And hearing the stories about it, hearing the director slag off his own movie, and
no,
stuff.
No, he's
just
not
start to
slagging off
go,
his own movie. He's very proud of his movie. Well, he's slagging
Is
off his Amazon. Yes, he's saying,
Well, it
I've
sounds
made
like
a
a bit
really
of
good
both.
movie. I
Oh, I
really
see what
like
you're
this
saying. And
movie.
you haven't released it in the theatres.
You have This is a film that should
Yes.
be released in the
In
theatres.
theatres,
So
yes.
do you know what?
Fair
I'm
point.
slightly more positive than you on this.
Look, I'm going to watch it, and if I like it, I like it. That's, I mean, I'm not going to be actually diss the movie, but I won't lie. None of the materials look good. They don't. They don't look good. They don't look
The early
awful.
reviews that are coming out are good as well. Although I did hear CGI fights in one of them, which made me very, very concerned. Anyway, no, look, I think Roadhouse is well deserving. So I'm going to talk you through some logic for me. There were three films on the shortlist for my Hall of Fame entry this year, and all because of one person. And I'm going to tell you why I chose the film I chose. So the first film that was in the mix this year was Rocky IV. The second film that was in the mix this year was Predator.
Oh, I
Do you
see.
see?
I
Yeah.
see exactly where you're going, and I feel bad, but I haven't picked one of his films now either.
But obviously, I'm referencing the fact that the great, iconic Carl Weathers passed away. And Rocky IV, by the way, is not the right Rocky to put in for Carl
Not for
Weathers.
him, not necessarily for
No.
him, but I see it, but I
But it is
understand.
my favorite Rocky movie.
He's also terrific in it. Like, he's
Yeah.
terrific in it.
And it is my favorite Rocky movie. Like, I know other Rocky movies are infinitely better, but it's my favorite.
Yeah, probably the
And
same for me, actually.
Predator is a fantastic movie. And again, Carl Weathers is great in it, but he doesn't last very long.
No.
It's much like. So I was left with a choice. And my choice was, what film do I think best represents Carl Weathers as an action star, as a lead in a movie? In a movie that we have talked about so many times and
I'm
referenced so
very
many times.
happy to hear this because I think I
And a
know where you're
film that is perfect in its imperfections, that makes me smile just thinking about it. It's the best one that you could ever do to honor Carl Weathers. And it is, of
Hang
course,
on, hang
Action
on. Wait,
Jackson.
before, oh, I was going to say,
Oh,
before you
sorry.
say, is it enthusiasm, excitement, was it esprit de joie or something like that? It's like kind of esprit de corps, that's it. Okay. No, it's action. Enthusiasm. So good. I'm sorry.
The one and only Action Jackson, which I think is like, look, I wanted to genuinely like honor the
Yes.
legacy of
Perfect.
Carl Weathers, and it had to be with a film that was iconically Carl Weathers. And
Yes.
whilst he is fantastic in Rocky, and it is a fantastic movie, Rocky IV is my favorite. So I couldn't put Rocky in without putting in Rocky IV. I couldn't put
No.
Predator in on for Carl Weathers because it almost disrespects Carl Weathers because he died so soon in it. And so it had to be Action Jackson. But that's okay because Action Jackson is a brilliant film and I love it very much.
Very much, I agree. 100% endorse that.
So the films this year will be Action Jackson and Roadhouse, not The Roadhouse.
No. Oh, the road. Have you heard about this? Have you
No,
heard that the
go
road? Have you? Oh, I
on. This
thought
is
you
why I
reckon you'd heard
fade
about
Ross
it.
out when he starts
No,
ranting about this at the end.
did you not? Have you not heard about this?
No,
Do you
go
know
on.
what the name? Do you know what the name of the roadhouse is in Roadhouse?
The
The new
Roadhouse.
road. It's called the Roadhouse. It's not called Double Deuce or whatever. They're just calling it the Roadhouse. And apparently, there's also a boat in it called the Boat. And apparently, what it is the previous owner of the Roadhouse and the Boat named them those things because he has a dry sense of humor. Are you excited about this film yet? Are you excited about it?
I am actually excited about it because I don't have quite the connection to the original film that you do. That's not to say I think it's a bad movie by any stretch. I think it's a great film. I just don't have that connection with it that you do. So I'm okay with it, if I'm being honest. But I could see in the same way that being a fan of Point Break, I was
Oh,
not overly
God.
enthused by the Point Break remake idea.
Terrible. I mean, it was terrible, wasn't it?
It was one of the worst films ever made. So look, there you go. So that is The Boy Asks this year. So big winners, Mission Impossible, French cinema, Patrick Swayze movies, and Godzilla's. And I think that's rightly so. We will keep doing these, even beyond when the Oscars finally do give out stunt awards. But we will keep doing them until the Oscars actually acknowledge that stunt and action performance is as valid as costume, makeup, dance, song, and all the other awards that they give out. So, you know, I think even if they did this as a technical award off the main show, like they did with the Lifetime Achievement Awards this year, I'm okay with that, by the way. Like, sure. But just do it. So look, Ross, where can people find out more about you?
Please look up at Ross Boyask on all the social media things, at Evo Films UK, follow Evolutionary Films, and at Vengeance Film UK as well.
Absolutely. And look, you can check out rossandphiltalkmovies.co.uk for more about the podcast. You can check me out on Letterboxd and all other social media as well. No, you want to, because outside the podcast, I'm quite boring. So look, thanks for listening. We'll be back with our regular show. And next time we will finally dive into Dune 2, because I don't think we talked about Dune 2 last time. So we were too busy talking about the back-to-back shiteness of Argyle and Madame Web. By the way, Madame Web had some fantastic digs by Kimmel last night. Look up Madame Web digs Oscar. There is one specific one about when he's talking about a screenplay, and he's reading out these great quotes from historic screenplays, things like, you know, from Field of Dreams and stuff like that, and then he puts in a line from Madame Web, which is just so funny. So yes, well played, well played. Thanks for listening. We'll be back. Take care. Bye.
Bye.